The Public News Service Daily Newscast, December the 29th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. The U.S. House voted Monday to beef up stimulus checks set to go out to American households in the coming weeks from $600 to $2,000. The Washington Post reports the chamber acted swiftly after President Trump demanded the larger payments last week, but passage of the measure is uncertain because Senate Republicans have not unified behind the idea. As a reminder, on Sunday, Trump signed into law a $900 billion emergency relief package that included those $600 checks, but he called them measly. The Post notes that 44 Republicans joined the vast majority of Democrats Monday in approving the bill, narrowly clearing the two-thirds threshold it needed to pass. Almost 2,500 people younger than 25 were living on the streets at some point in 2020. That's according to new estimates from a network of agencies that serve the homeless.
The study released Monday found the numbers rise to more than 7,800 when you include youths who are sheltering temporarily with friends or relatives. Madeline Ravitz with the Connecticut Coalition to End Homelessness says that's 16% better than the year before, but it's still a huge problem.
Whether it's 7,000 or 9,000, it's still a major, major issue that we're identifying this many youths and we need to do better.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
January 26th is when normally there would be a point-in-time count, but due to COVID, they can't send teams of volunteers to hit the streets, so they are coordinating with town officials and partners who serve the homeless across the state for this year's count. Small towns are focusing efforts on environmental restoration and creating equitable access to green spaces, despite the challenges from the pandemic.
The city of Mount Airy teamed up with Resource Institute and Pilot View Resource Conservation and Development to restore more than 12 miles of the Ararat River, which runs through the city, as well as expand outdoor recreation areas for residents. Mount Airy's Director of Parks and Recreation, Darren Lewis, says the Granite City Greenway is a walking and biking trail that connects three schools and is walking distance from several Housing Authority developments.
The Greenway is 6.6 miles in length. To date, we have Mannery High School, Mannery Middle School, and Therrington Primary School that are connected to the Greenway. The children are fortunate. They can walk right outside of their school classroom and get on the Greenway.
Lewis says in the future, the city aims to complete the northern loop of the Greenway that will connect additional schools and link nearby Pilot Mountain with the goal of creating a regional tourist destination. I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
This is PNS. The pandemic has shrunk U.S. forest exports. Economists say supply disruptions in Southeast Asia, where American logs and lumber are turned into furniture, is to blame, along with a drop in consumer demand. Andrew Muhammad's a professor at the University of Tennessee at Knoxville.
Tennessee was actually particularly hurt by this, more so than the national average and more so than the regional. Part of that is many Tennessee producers are highly reliant on hardwood exports to Asian markets.
U.S. furniture sales dipped by 86% in April, around the time stay-at-home orders went into effect. Over the summer, U.S. producers had lost more than $670 million. A new survey of women aged 50 and older found lockdowns and social distancing during the coronavirus have amplified feelings of loneliness.
Chronic loneliness can drive up cortisol levels in the body, which can weaken the immune system, diminish cognitive performance, and increase the risk of heart disease. Margaret Manning, the founder of the group conducting the poll, says the percentage of people experiencing loneliness was up 10 points from the previous year.
85% of the women in our community said that they felt lonely at some time in that last year. 78% said that the COVID-19 pandemic had really impacted their loneliness and social isolation.
The survey found that limits on the ability to socialize during the pandemic have amplified feelings of isolation, and many respondents said they have experienced a sense of hopelessness and anxiety when leaving the house. 61% said they turned to video calls to keep in touch with family and friends, and nearly half used video calls for the first time. I'm Eric Galatis.
Finally, after passing the Clean Energy Act this year, Virginia is in the vanguard of states moving toward 100% clean electricity. Our Diane Bernard's been checking out a new report. It shows barriers such as low electric vehicle inventories that could prevent the Commonwealth from reaching the goal.
The Virginia Drives Electric report shows more than half of Virginians say they are likely to consider an electric vehicle for their next car, according to Stuart Gardner with Generation 180, which put out the report. But the state lacks pro-EV policies, such as those its neighbor Maryland has, such as requiring automakers to sell a certain number of low-emissions cars.
So inventory is really a barrier that the average Virginian, even if they want to go electric, they can't because they're just not there at the dealer.
The president of the Virginia Automobile Dealers Association says it supports efforts to increase EV sales, but policymakers need to conduct additional studies about financial incentives and battery charging infrastructure in the state.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on radio stations big and small, and online at publicnewsservice.org.